Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you this week?
Good, good. Except been doing a lot of typing lately, and boy, that thumb and forefinger are a little bit numb. But other than that, doing great.
Well, good. That leads me right into our discussion today of carpal tunnel syndrome, or a common nerve entrapment disorder. I don't know if your typing has led to pain or paresthesias or wasting of the hand, but these are common symptoms that patients present. It is one of the more common musculoskeletal diagnoses we see in our practice. Clinical features of carpal tunnel are variable, but as I mentioned, they usually include pain, usually include some paresthesias. The paresthesias are usually in the distribution of the median nerve, which involves the old thumb and first two fingers and the radial half of the ring finger. And you often have patients telling you that they need to shake their arm, and that does provide some relief. About half of patients experience pain at night, and they're awakened by these symptoms. So all of that, not surprisingly, will drive patients to our office. The natural history of carpal tunnel syndrome, one would think we'd know a great deal about what happens if we don't do anything. Well, we don't. We do know that for many patients, this goes away, but there are some for whom it doesn't. And one of the questions is, for those where this is persistent, it's not responsive to NSAIDs or some of the other local treatments, of which there are lots and lots of things that people have tried, including splinting, steroids, ultrasound treatments, nerve gliding exercises, and even yoga. The authors in this week's study published in Lancet asked the question, well, when those things don't work in mild to moderate carpal tunnel syndrome, does surgery provide superior pain relief than multimodal non-surgical treatment?
Well, let's see if we can answer that. This was not a lot of randomized controlled trials on this in this area. There are a couple others. Especially looking at injections versus non-injections or injections versus oral steroids. And in this study, they randomly assigned 116 patients who had a clinical diagnosis of mild to moderate carpal tunnel for at least 2 weeks to either having surgery right away or getting this sort of multimodal non-surgical treatment that consisted of a homeopathic dose of ibuprofen, 200 milligrams three times a day, six visits with a hand therapist, and some therapeutic ultrasound, which is, at least if nothing else, a convincing placebo because it makes you all tingly if they weren't getting better after 6 weeks. Now, none of these folks had, some did, some didn't. Not all of them had electrodiagnostic testing, and the type of surgery, whether open or endoscopic, was left to the surgeon. At the end of 12 months, 1 in 10 patients were lost to follow-up, and we don't know what happened to them. At that time, the symptom and function scores were improved in both groups, so that's good. They were improved a little bit more in the surgery group, but probably not enough to be clinically significant. A good rule of thumb is if you have a 10-point scale, you want to see a difference of at least 1 to 1.5 points before most patients can really notice that there is a difference. You throw enough patients at a study and you can find some very small statistically significant differences, but who cares if they're not clinically significant? So in this case, it was a 5-point scale. And so you'd look for at least a 0.5-point change, maybe 0.75. And the difference in this study was 0.34 points for symptoms and 0.4 points for function. So those didn't really meet that clinical significance criterion. Also, that the loss to follow-up of 10 people would tend to, if it's going to do any biasing, it would bias usually in favor of the intervention or the surgery. So what it looks like is that the surgery in this group of patients had a minimal, if any, benefit over these more conservative therapies.
When it comes to early treatment, Mark, do you have a specific favorite approach?
Well, as I said, the literature in this is pretty mixed. I mean, there's appears to be possibly some benefit for splints. A lot of people in the control groups where you really don't do anything seem to get better. There have been studies of injection showing some short-term benefit, but probably not a lot of long-term benefit. There are also studies showing that oral steroids are as effective as injected steroids. So a lot of what I've done in the past is recommend splints. I'll sometimes check for thyroid function because you can have undiagnosed hypothyroidism, mm-hmm. and that can be a cause, particularly in sort of middle-aged adults who are often the folks coming in complaining about this. Asking about activities, if someone's took up weightlifting or doing something that strenuous upper arm activities that's increasing the muscle mass, that can sometimes lead to or exacerbate these symptoms. So we talk about that kind of thing. And, might try a tapering course of oral steroids initially. I don't do injections into the carpal tunnel, but if those things aren't working after a couple months, then refer to a surgeon, for them to discuss those other options with the patient.
Excellent approach. Good advice. We'll talk with you next week for another poem. Thanks, Mark.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.